Chicago Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
The Beat is on the road today. That's right. We are coming to you from Madison, Wisconsin at the Kohl Center. A huge game for Northwestern today. So we decided to go on the road. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen here with you.
See,
and do the beat from here.
Already just lying to the listeners. You decided that we were going on the road today. And I don't know what you've done with your life, but I want to learn from you. I want to hang out with you. You asked to go on the road. Next thing you know, here we are at your alma mater, sitting at center court, sitting next to Dave Ennett, who's preparing, sitting next to Adam Phillips. I just want to thank you. It's great to be on the road.
Are you complaining?
No,
about
not
this?
At all.
I was going to say.
Not in the least. I couldn't be happier to be here. I can't wait to see Northwestern shock the world today, a 10.5-point underdog. Scotty Lindsey not playing. Never say die. Nothing to lose today on the road at number 7 in the country. This is going to be a great basketball game, and I'm fired up for it.
Well, it's an exciting day to – a big opportunity for Northwestern today. Given, you know, coming off the loss to Illinois at home, everyone's disappointed about that. They come here to the Kohl Center. I'm going to give you some reasons for optimism about the Cats today because this is a banged-up Wisconsin team. Obviously, Northwestern's banged up too, not having Scotty Lindsey. But they've had some days off here, some opportunities. So let's set the scene. We're sitting in the radio booth, the visiting radio booth, on the 200 level at the Kohl Center. This, my friend, was the booth 10 years ago that I called – Wisconsin basketball games for as a student for WSUM, the student radio station.
See, I'm comfortable with you sitting here for WSUM. I'm not particularly comfortable, and no offense to anybody. I know that there's always restrictions and seats and whatnot, but I think that Dave Ennett should always be courtside. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, I agree.
I know that there's a lot of factors to everything, but I'm on the wall for Dave Ennett that he should be courtside right next to the Wildcats. I hope Dave appreciates that moderately.
Well, Dave is sitting with us right now. We'll hear from him.
But the fact that let's just first
Take it up with Matt LePay, the voice of the Badgers, who's going to join us in about 30 minutes.
I'm intimidated by Matt LePay
because he's still sitting courtside. Like
is. I mean, how is that fair? Yeah. How can the local guy be next to the court, be right there, and Dave's got to be up top? Not that you can't see. But as Dave's joining us, it's not the same, is it?
Okay, can I just say something?
Please.
At home, I'm courtside, and the visiting radio guys are upstairs.
No.
So it's the same deal.
Yeah, so
they
are?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Also, TV's just next to us, the visitor.
TV is next to us.
But
there,
but
there,
you're sitting there.
I didn't know that. Is that new?
It's very new.
Okay. Because that hasn't been the case.
I know.
But also up at Northwestern, I'm in there in the 100 level. This is like at least 150, 200 feet higher, correct?
This is, I would say.
But you do have a nice booth here.
This place, we do. We have a similar setup at Penn State, except you're kind of set back even further from the court there. And the players look like ants. So other than that, everything's good.
It's like football. I do like this has a feeling because it is built straight up. So you are right on top of it. But this is like old school Chicago Stadium here, Dave. Like it feels like we're in the mezzanine.
No, you know where that is Williams Arena.
Oh, is that right?
Old barn. That
I
is
love
my
place.
That's my favorite place to do a game.
I really want
to
go.
You need to go there. It is tremendous basketball.
You're on the front row of what is basically the 200 level, I think.
Okay.
And it's you're out over the court, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. I'm going next year. Next year.
I'll let you guys do your show. I'll talk to you later.
Dave's going to join us.
Feel free to jump in at any point in the next. We're here. We're here till 5:15, leading into the official pregame.
We've invaded Dave's booth and Joey, who will be here. I'm sure in a matter of moments. You're actually sitting in Joey's seat, so I got myself out of the way.
You're part of the team too during the game, so I'm the one who's in the way. I will say this was a great vantage point though for calling hockey games here too, which they do here at the.
You
Kohl
called
Center.
Hockey?
Yeah, I did.
A la John Weideman?
Yeah, I think I was.
Were you any good at it? I feel like that's really difficult.
It was very hard. It was very, very hard. And no, I was nothing like John Weideman.
Did you know what the half boards were?
Yeah. But I will say, I kind of had to learn, like, really learn the game of hockey while I did that experience because, look, let's just be honest. I mean, growing up in the time period I did, the Blackhawks weren't exactly. Tremendous. It wasn't a thing you went to regularly. And so my first real hardcore hockey experience was here at Wisconsin.
It is an advantage, though, to grow up in a city where you can hear – like my upbringing is Jim Durham doing basketball, and then Foley, of course, doing hockey, and then back in the day it was Wayne Larrivee doing Bears, and of course Dave doing Northwestern. I mean, that if you're trying to be an aspiring broadcaster, listening to those guys, you get a pretty good idea of how to go about it.
It's a great place,
right?
But meanwhile, before all that, you have to listen to us as we, you know, we're great teachers of
what not to do.
All right, so
how did I get here? What's going on?
It is Mark Carman, Adam Hoge here at the Kohl Center as we get ready for a big game day. We'll be talking about some other things too. Spring training is here. That is crazy to me. It's kind of like every time the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup, it seems like training camp starts 3 days later. That's kind of how it feels like with the Cubs this year.
I mean, I click onto the old Trib website today, and there's a video of Kojay Uehara performing running drills. I mean, that's the level of coverage you're going to get this year.
And you watched every second of it, didn't you?
I haven't yet, but I will. I mean, there's not going to be one video coming out of spring training that I won't watch.
Yeah.
I'm excited and also just calmly waiting for the run for the back-to-back on the way to the three-peat gets going. But it'll be very interesting to see if the Cubs continue to add on and for me, it's all about center field, what transpires with one Albert Almora Jr., who I hope plays at least 130 games out there. I think that would be a good sign that everything went well, and then the rest of the situation with John Jay and everybody else.
Well,
how much Jason Hayward's playing center, the whole deal.
Yeah, that's one of the things I want to get into later on in the show is just kind of I want you to give kind of like three key things that need to happen for the Cubs in spring training. I'll provide three for the White Sox, and we'll kind of knock those out as pitchers and catchers report. But, okay, so we're here in Madison. You've never been in this building.
No, I've been to one basketball game on this campus. It was 1994, I want to say.
At the old Fieldhouse.
Iowa, led by Chris Kingsbury, who I'm sure Dave Ennett would remember, shot it from 40 feet out, and he banged down five or six of them in that game, and the Hawkeyes rolled into Madtown and won. It was a great, great, great day in the life of Mark Carman's college career. It was a lot of fun. But that's my only game here, so this is number two.
So this is your first time in the Kohl Center. I got you a very nice burger before the broadcast that had to be done.
It was fantastic.
Down the street.
Nitty-gritty?
Yeah.
Dottie's.
Dottie's. We went to
See, Nitty Gritty is a fine place, but at some point you need to, like, graduate from there, and then you move on to Dottie's.
Just for the record, I met my buddy John Fieldman for breakfast, had an expansive breakfast, and it was a two-hour drive here and just slammed a burger.
So you should be down on the court, like, doing suicides right now.
Yeah, my weight fluctuates. Now it's talking way too much about myself, but my weight fluctuates between 175 and 180. Right now I feel like I'm, like, 184. Like, I might just run the stairs the whole game.
Yeah.
It's a real disgusting feeling right now, but it was delicious. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You were a little bit of a celebrity around town in that scene there. In my own way, I just felt like you had one of your disciples were sitting there with you, a guy who took over your website, just sitting there kind of looking.
That was it. No one else. That was the only person who knew me. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but the way he was looking at you was these glowing eyes and just so much respect for the way you paved the way for future Badger contributors on the SB Nation website. It was really, there was some love there.
Well, I caught up with some guys that run Bucky's Fifth Quarter, which was a website that I founded a long time ago. And it's fun. There's definitely been some reminiscing this weekend. You know, had dinner with some old college roommates last night. We relived some really stupid stories from college, you know, that kind of thing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Did you, let's address the slight elephant in the room that we haven't yet. Northwestern, if they win today,
yeah,
it basically, I don't want to go too far here, but it basically locks them into the tournament. You beat a top 10 team on the road.
This is a bigger game for Northwestern than
Wisconsin. Way bigger.
Way bigger.
And you've been on the sideline now for Northwestern football how many years?
Two.
2 years. You've been living around Evanston for nearly your whole life.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, what's going on in the heart right now?
Well, look, I always root for Northwestern to do well. There's no question.
Did you answer the question there?
Well, I'm trying to, and then you interrupted me. You know, I think.
All right, I'll step back. I want to hear the listeners just
look,
feel this is 312-981-7200. Adam's going to answer.
Here's what I'm going to do. Over the next 2 hours, I am going to objectively tell you what I think is going to happen in this game from both sides, because I feel like I know both of these programs pretty decently well. Okay.
Right. Okay.
And for those that don't know, I did cover this team, this Wisconsin team, on a daily basis when I was a student here, and then like pretty regularly for a couple of years after that.
Football and basketball? Did you do both?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but really basketball even more so than football.
Oh, wow.
Because actually my senior year I was interning for the guy who's going to join us in 20 minutes, Matt LePay. So I wasn't really covering football. I was more in the radio booth that year. So, but yeah, no, I got a pretty intimate look at this Wisconsin program, kind of, and nothing's changed other than the players. Even though the head coach has changed, they still run things the same way they always have. I think the difference is they've obviously managed to bring in some little bit better talent that's now in the NBA, and that's why they went to back-to-back Final Fours, and that's why this team this year is ranked in the top 10. And it's always tough to play here at the Kohl Center, as I'm plenty of Northwestern fans and players and everyone around the program knows it's not easy to come up here and win. However, didn't they win here a couple years ago, the year Wisconsin went to the national championship game? Yeah, that was one of – so that was the first Final Four year. Yeah, in the Kohl Center, they won that game.
I remember the game. It was
so it's possible.
Yeah. No, listen, the Cats have a good team. It's definitely hurts them not having Scotty Lindsey, but there's enough talent on the court that I expect them to be in the game today, and perhaps if they can make it interesting down the stretch, then anything can happen. People are texting that I said further from the court. It's farther. We got to get the English correct here, Hope.
Wow.
So. Like, I appreciate that. You're holding high vision for us to use the English language properly, as we should, as professional. I say that loosely, radio host.
The Twitter police have invaded the text line, huh?
Yeah, that
too. I mean,
that's
the kind of response you get on Twitter.
Maybe the response you get on Twitter. No one expects proper English from me on Twitter.
That's true.
You know, you have a writing thing that you do.
Should mention that Michigan beat Indiana 75-63. That game was in Bloomington earlier today.
Michigan 6-6 now in the conference. The Hoosiers 5-8. Of course, Northwestern has to go there. Good chance to get Indiana on the road, a place that they've won recently too. So, a bunch of you look at Northwestern's schedule. This by far is the toughest game left. You have other tough games: Purdue at home, Maryland at home, but this is by far the toughest road game. And
that's why it's a big opportunity.
It's a huge opportunity. And I hope they play like they have nothing to lose. If I was Chris Collins, I'd be saying something along those lines. Hey, no one's expecting us to win today. We're a 10.5-point underdog. Let's go.
Well, how about this? When we come back, I'll give you a couple of reasons why you could be optimistic.
Okay.
For this game.
Very cool.
All right. All right. How much are we paying for Drew Peterson's legal defense? Bills are piling up for taxpayers. And Ben Bradley is out to get answers. WGN-TV investigates Monday at 9. We'll take a break. This is The Beat. We are live from the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin. A huge game between Northwestern and Wisconsin today. 720 WGN.
720 WGN. We are live at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Any Cat fans, by the way, driving up, you have carte blanche. We will put you to the front of the line. I believe there isn't much of a line right now anyway, but we would love to hear from some diehard purple that's headed up here to Madison, a beautiful two-hour drive. Adam Hogue, you said
that you were surprised by that drive, weren't you? It's very easy.
It was an easy drive. I had a great time. I got to say, I've upgraded my vehicle from the dark ages to the new ages.
Yeah.
It's
a game changer.
It's the new use. Thank you to Muller Honda. And I mean, I can talk into the air in my car, and it's a whole nother life.
So when I called you on your way up here, you just were able to like press a button,
bang,
and talk.
It's amazing.
It's a lot safer for you.
It's a lot safer, and I need safety in my car. So thank you to technology for that. My life is perhaps going to be longer because of what everyone's figured out, which I never would have figured out. If I was the first human on Earth, said this many times, we'd still be sitting on the ground and eating out of our hands. I don't think I would have invented the fork. Do you think you would have invented the fork? There's no way I would have figured out the fork. Fire? Any of that stuff? How do these people do it?
I think you would think, like, to use a stick or something to pick up the food.
Okay, yeah, maybe a stick. Yeah, sure.
You just took me somewhere I've never thought about my entire life.
I think about that nightly.
All right.
By the way, Minnesota's beating the Bulls 49-25. Not a single Bull that's any good is playing today. Wade, Butler, all of them are out. So Tom Thibodeau's going to be 2-0 against his former team.
So instead of blowing a 30-point lead to Minnesota this time, they'll just lose by 30 to begin with.
They're going to get – it's going to be a 50-point game.
All right.
Continue on. How can Northwestern win this game, please?
Okay, well, I just want to give you some like, I'm going to crack the door open, all right? Because Wisconsin is more banged up than people realize, all right? Bronson Koenig, their point guard, had, if you watched the game the other night against Nebraska, was clearly banged up, not 100%. Now, he still banked in that three in overtime to, you know, save the day, but he's not 100%. I think that explains why he hasn't necessarily been as dominant as maybe I thought he would be.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
This year, had high expectations. He's still certainly a good basketball player.
Brian McIntosh can hopefully take advantage. Continue. What else?
I would say that that's a pretty fun battle today between those two players, and that if McIntosh is 100%, that Northwestern might have the edge there. Remember, he put up 28 on Wisconsin last year.
I think the Cats do have the edge
yeah.
there.
Okay, Nigel Hayes, too, has been dealing with a groin. He hasn't been practicing. Now, that didn't stop him in the second half against Nebraska the other night, where he finally stepped up and had a pretty big performance to kind of save the day when other guys weren't playing at their best. And so there's a couple banged-up injuries there to think about.
Okay.
And then also they're coming off a very physical game Thursday night. Mm-hmm. The Cats played on Tuesday.
Right.
So there's
2 days rest.
2 days rest. It's
okay.
A quick turnaround.
Okay. I'm in.
You're buying it?
Sure.
I'm really just bringing this up for your comfort.
Well, I appreciate that. 219 texting in. Does anybody know when Lindsay's getting back? It won't be today. We can tell you that for sure. But there is some hope that Scotty Lindsay will play this week, hopefully Wednesday against Maryland at Welsh Ryan Arena. Don't quote us on that, but there's hope that he potentially will be on the court on Wednesday. Now, how will he look going, you know, being off the court for as long as he has? Normally, it's going to take a guy a little while to get back into condition.
Conditioning is a huge factor when you're dealing with something like
right,
he is.
And play at the same level. Like, the Blackhawks are just going on their 5-day bye week break, which, by the way, big win again for the Hawks last night. Roland beating Edmonton after some huge wins this week, beating Minnesota and Winnipeg as well.
Patrick Kane's kind of good.
The Patrick Kane goal last night in the first period off the skate of the goalie from behind the net. That was some wizardry from Kaner that I don't remember seeing ever that particular play before. It was true.
He finds a way to do something new.
I had to watch the replay like three times. Wait, what did he do? Oh, yeah. Because the goalie was facing forward. Kane's behind the net if you missed it. And he shot the puck off the back of his skate deliberately, and it just trickled into the goal. Not even trickled. It ricocheted pretty hard. It was bang, goal, Kane. And he had a great reaction to it. But the reason why I bring that up is because when teams are coming off the bye, their bye week in the NHL, 5 days off, they're across the league, they're having a losing record.
Yeah.
So you get out of rhythm, it happens real quick. And so Scotty Lindsay, how long will it take him to come on back?
No, that's certainly a factor. So you definitely – look, winning today here at the Kohl Center would certainly make up for that loss against Illinois.
Oh, no doubt.
At
no
Welsh
question.
Ryan. And it would,
no question.
And it would go a really long way in securing that NCAA tournament. But
right.
Which right now,
if they lose today,
I know you're sweating. You're already sweating.
I'm not in full sweat, but and today is I'm going to be okay either way. Wednesday night's another story. They got to get Maryland on Wednesday.
All right. Well, we coming up after the news. We're going to bring in Matt LePay, the voice of the Badgers. We're going to have Dave Ennett sit in the conversation too.
Awesome.
So, that'll be certainly a fun conversation for us here. We'll take a quick timeout. 720 WGN.
Koenig on the dribble, feeds Hayes for three in the lead. He hit it. Nigel Hayes gives the Badgers a 1-point lead. 18.4 seconds left in overtime. Into the rhythm, dribbles, eyes the rim, free throw airborne. It's off the rim, no. Rebound Jacobson with one, poked away, and the Badgers win it. Wisconsin in overtime.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Northwestern wants to win today, they should probably avoid going to overtime against this Wisconsin team. 8-0 with this, that's the stat, right? 8-0 with this current senior class. That was Matt LePay Thursday night. in Lincoln, Nebraska, as Wisconsin kind of won an ugly one there. A tough physical game, managed to pull it out in overtime. And Matt LePay joins us right now as the Beat is on the road in Madison, Wisconsin. Adam Hoge, Mark Carman, and Dave Ennett here as well. It's kind of cool for me because I interned for you, Matt, in the 2007 football season, I think.
It was. 10 years. Boy, yeah, coming up on 10 years.
Crazy.
Wow. And despite that, Dave, look at what Adam has done in his career. Despite being polluted by myself and Mike Lucas.
And myself,
right?
Too.
Yeah. Look
well,
at
I was going to say because I graduated and I immediately interned for Dave Ennett.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
so,
Mark Carman, too, I guess.
So he's overcome those obstacles.
Look what you've done. Way to go, Adam.
Yeah. Anyway, it's great to have you here. And let's start a little bit with what happened Thursday night. I mean, this has kind of been, if you go back and watch Wisconsin in the last, I don't know, month even. I mean, they've had to grind out some games because the shooting touch hasn't exactly been there.
The last four, especially, Adam, the game in Madison Square Garden against Rutgers, it was a brick fest until the final couple of minutes of regulation, and then they go into overtime, and they can't miss. The three overtime games this year have all been on the road, and their points per possession, it's like 1.5, 1.7. If they get to overtime, they can't miss. But the Rutgers game and then Thursday night at Nebraska, they couldn't make a shot for 37 minutes, and then they make a couple down the stretch, and then they get into overtime, and they catch a rhythm there. But they're defending well. They're getting to the foul line. But clearly they all know that they're going to have to shoot it better because they're walking a tightrope right now.
Dave, I always see you and Matt commiserating before football games, before basketball games. So when perhaps a game with a little controversy in football happens and it goes the Cat's way, do you rub that into Matt a little bit and just say, you know, we earned that over the years? How does that go?
Never, never. No, and when has that ever happened? I can't recall it, Mark.
I don't know what I'm thinking of, actually.
It's a catch. It's a catch, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Even though it isn't. Really.
Yeah.
By rule, it's not.
Right.
So that's okay.
Right.
I think we all walked out of Camp Randall that day sort of scratching our heads and wondering what we'd just seen.
Hey.
I thought Pat Fitzgerald had the best line after the game. It was one of the television interviews. I think he said, what just happened between
yeah,
the catch,
right.
no catch, and then a false start that should have been called and wasn't and would have had a 10-second runoff and Wisconsin never would have had a last play. It was kind of like, what? What just? Well, I guess it was okay for him that day, though.
You know, we have seen some crazy things between these more, I think, in football than in basketball. I mean, basketball seems like occasionally the Badgers have come into Welsh Ryan as they did last year and not played their best game, and the Cats have been able to get one and the game up here in 2014. But in football, there have been some games. I mean, I know you remember the game probably would have been the late 90s, a night game at Ryan Field where you had the kicker who had kicked a long field goal the week before to win a game, and right at the end of the game, it kicked like a 48-yard field goal to beat the Cats.
He did, yeah. Matt Davenport was the guy's name.
That's the guy, yep.
They needed a different long snapper because in the celebration in the last-second field goal the week before, the long snapper dislocated his elbow, so they had to get a backup snapper, and it took about 5 seconds for the ball to get back to the holder. So we kind of gripe to one another when Wisconsin and Northwestern don't meet, if they rotate off the schedule in football, because the games are more often than not have been really entertaining. If you don't have a dog in the fight, you're going to pay attention to it because you get a double overtime game in 2000. You've had a lot of crazy games between the two programs.
See, I always thought that it was just a Dave Ennett thing, the photographic memory seemingly of plays over the years.
No.
But you just busted it out there, too. It's just like a play-by-play thing.
It's an illness, I think, that we have. It's like we'll bring up a lot of these little-known facts, and we wonder, like, why do we know that?
Listen, we called a 51-48 football game.
We did. That
we might not see that many points scored here today.
Yeah, that's 2005 you're thinking about, right?
Yeah, Tyrell Sutton.
Right there, Mark.
I was sitting in the stands as I think it was John Stocko threw that interception late in the game, and it was Brett Bazinet who put up like 700 yards of passing for the Cats.
Tyrell Sutton. It was his freshman year, and he had a huge game.
See, Adam is equally ill, Mark. Now
yeah,
you
no,
know.
I just saw it.
Well, we're talking to two legends here who – I mean, know both of these programs. What I love about your time here in Wisconsin, Matt, is it kind of coincides with, like, right when Barry Alvarez got here, right? I mean, you were here, like, just before that?
Yeah,
I saw
the last 2 years of Don Morton's time here, and then, I got here in 88, and then Barry got here in January of 1990. So, I've been lucky. I've had a great seat to watch
a program build from the ground floor, yeah. and very similar with basketball, but especially with football, because nobody was going to the games, and now the tickets are a lot more difficult to come by.
Well, and I think we're going to have Jim Phillips, Northwestern's athletic director, in here a little bit later, and you know, we're going to be obviously talking about all the great facility upgrades that they're doing in Evanston with the football, and then just this week announcing the practice facilities for basketball, and Welsh Ryan Arena is going to be going under the changes, and it's going to be great for both of them. You've kind of seen all that happen here. I mean, this building that we're standing in right now, 1998, the Kohl Center, was really a result of all the success they had in football, right? The prior years to that, because when you got here in 88, I mean, this let's face it, the athletic department was kind of a mess.
It was a little more mom and pop, I think would be a charitable way of putting it. But this place was built because basketball was building.
Okay.
Dick Bennett got him into the tournament in 1997. Stu Jackson in 94. They were recruiting better. They were selling out regularly. And then they were able to, with Senator Herb Kohl, the late Ab Nicholas, donated millions for this. So you see the commitment, and you're clearly seeing that, Dave, at Northwestern right now, too, and it's exciting to watch.
Yeah, no question about that. And as a matter of fact, and Matt will remember this, the Wildcats played the first game in this building.
Okay.
And I mentioned 51-48, that football game. That game was 56-33.
Oh, my God.
Right? And I remember Kevin O'Neill coming on our post-game show afterwards and saying, well, all those people in their red shirts, they all got their nice new building. Good for them. Because I think he'd been teed up a couple of times in that game.
Yeah, he was not happy to be the Washington Generals that
no,
day, opening
no.
up the new building. And by the way, the Cats are the Generals no more. We all know
right.
that. But, yeah, Kevin would always speak his mind, as you know, better than most.
Oh, yeah.
What is your impression of what Chris Collins has been able to do as you kind of look at Northwestern from the outside?
Very. We were just talking before we went on the air, Dave and I. This team is legit. I mean, it's awful timing with Scotty Lindsey, and it's, you know, hopefully he'll be back very, very soon for this team. But this is, I don't think, from the outside looking in, Northwestern, this is not a smoke and mirrors thing. This is a legit good team.
Yeah.
Badgers found that out firsthand with McIntosh last year, with Brian McIntosh in the 28. He dropped on him, but with Vic Law and Derek Pardon and this whole group, this is a legitimate NCAA team right now. And I know there's a month to go, but it just looks like now and then with the facility upgrade going on, this is going to be a serious team to deal with for the foreseeable future. They're gonna not be a cute story here very soon. This is going to be a team that it's not going to be a get-well game for anybody.
Yeah, that's a great point, because it has been now everybody's kind of jumped on this year. Well, wouldn't it be great if this is finally the year Northwestern makes the tournament? And that's the question. And these guys get – I mean, I think they understand it, but I made this comment to a reporter a couple of weeks ago that Chris Collins, since the day he took the job, that's all he's been asked. When are you going to make the tournament? And it's all Bill Carmody was asked for 13 years, and Kevin O'Neill before him. And this is clearly their best opportunity over that time. But they want to get to the point where it's not the exception to the rule. And this isn't some big story that Northwestern's contending for a spot in the NCAA tournament.
And Wisconsin went through a very similar thing when Stu Jackson got him in 94. That was a 47-year gap. Football going to and winning bowl games. And Barry Alvarez then said, look, we don't want this to be the one-hit wonder. And I think what's so encouraging for Northwestern is that the coach there kind of knows the drill of being in postseason play a lot, and I think that can go a long way. And with the leadership that it looks like the Cats have right now, these younger guys are going to learn a lot, and they're not like they're going to expect to go in, but they're going to know what it takes to get there, and then you build on that, and they'll be a hard team to beat.
I mean, it's interesting thing about the history, because I remember as a kid, Northwestern football, that you were hoping for 1, 2, 3 wins a year, and Wisconsin was one of the games you could get. I mean, I'm sure you remember that, Dave, as a student, right? When Wisconsin would come in, that's like, oh, my God, we could get one today.
I think first Big Ten win I ever called was against the Badgers,
right.
And it was thanks to a fake field goal for a touchdown right before halftime on homecoming.
Right.
But, you know, there were a lot of games like that back then. By the way, that was Bob Christian. Matt Jurwo was the holder on the field goal, and he threw to Bob Christian for the touchdown. But
that's very impressive. I'm very concerned.
Yeah, you should be. I think one of the things a couple of weeks ago when the noise was getting really, really loud, Chris was the one who stepped up and said, look, we have 6 weeks to go, whatever it is. We have a lot still to be done, a lot of work to do. And
you've got to be careful here, because last year they got off to a 3-2 start of the Big Ten, then lost for 4 or 5 in a row. Right now they've dropped 2 in a row. They can't get into a long losing streak, because that can really change the selection committee's opinion of you pretty quickly.
That's one of the things that we learned firsthand around here in 2000 when Dick Bennett, that team went on to the Final Four. The third week of February, their overall record was like 13-12 or 14-13. It had all the makings of an NIT team. Then it got hot. So that's kind of the flip of what the worst case scenario would be for Northwestern right now. I know they had the top four seeds in the regions yesterday and all of that. It's a great marketing tool. It gets people talking, but it could change so dramatically between now and March 12th. But it gets people talking. But to your point, you're right. I mean, things could flip the wrong way for Northwestern, could flip the wrong way for Wisconsin. But we've seen it where a team that looks like Joe Average all of a sudden gets hot and makes a deep run.
TV is TV and nothing's changing, and you know, this is a NBA level arena that we're in right now. I'm just curious your opinion, Matt and Dave, on Rutgers, Maryland being in the Big Ten. You just talked about how you guys get bumped off the schedule. Those are the reasons why. I mean, I don't know how you look at it. I think Nebraska to me like just sort of fit, but those two didn't.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm still, because I'm older, a lot older than you, Mark, and Adam. It's probably
that was how he left me.
Yeah,
out.
I thought you look a lot younger than I do, Dave. So it's probably harder for maybe Dave and I to wrap our arms around it. Like, okay, Rutgers and Maryland. You can see Maryland with basketball. Rutgers still trying to figure it out. We get it with television and the footprint and all of that. But maybe for a college age kid now, it's not that big a deal. And in time, we'll get used to that concept. But it's tough for me, because I'm used to the Big Ten actually having 10 teams. But now that's a very old news.
Yeah, it is. You know what? When Nebraska came in, I thought that seems like an odd fit. And the talk, remember, had been that Missouri was going to be the 12th team coming in. And I was kind of excited because my kids were at Missouri at the time. And I said, that's great. I'll get to see them a couple extra times a year. But, you know, I think Nebraska has been a great fit. I think that's been a tremendous addition to the conference. And what I'm hoping is, and clearly it was done for TV, I think Maryland's going to be fine. I think the jury's going to be out on Rutgers for a while to see how they fit into this conference. But I don't mind the trip out east, you know, and I think having the New York market exposure, I think the tournament, what is it, next year
in New York?
Yeah.
This year in D.C., I think is going to be fun.
Yeah, I hate that. Well.
But I love, don't get me wrong. But, I love when it's at the United Center and I have to drive 10 minutes.
The whole I get why they're doing it, but the whole Big Ten tournament's not, I mean, it was one thing when it went to Indy. Now we're, you know, most fans of the Big Ten are not going to be able to be there.
Yeah.
I agree. It's going to be a long drive, or you're going to pay a lot of money for a flight to get to D.C. or to New York. But I think we've all been around this industry long enough to understand why they're doing it. And let's don't ignore Penn State here, because I think that school, as the easternmost Big Ten team prior to all of this, he needed a couple of partners out there, and that was no small factor.
And it's also the hardest place to get to still.
Yeah, it is.
I know you got pregame duties to get to. I do want to ask you real quick, though. You brought up the game last year in Evanston and Brian McIntosh going off. I remember going on our halftime show with this guy, and basically saying at that point, look, Northwestern's a better team than Wisconsin. Because that was kind of the turnaround point for Wisconsin when things started really getting going under Greg Gard. How is this program changed at all under Greg compared to Bo Ryan? Or is it? I mean, because on the surface, if you just watch a game, a lot of it looks the same.
It is. And to your first point there, you were right. Northwestern was a better team at that time. Wisconsin, after that loss, was 1-4 in the Big Ten. And then they went back. The players started to understand the concepts of the swing offense, which for Badger fans was old hat. For the players last year, it was a new thing. They hadn't run that for a while. So they got used to Greg's way of doing things, and then they all really started to understand their roles, and then everything fell into place. So you might see a substitution pattern a little bit different with Greg. He'll chew on the officials' ears a lot less than Bo. Yeah. But by and large, big picture, their principles are very much the same, and why wouldn't they be, because Greg worked with him for so many years.
Do you think Bo Ryan will ever coach again?
I never rule it out. I never rule it out. He's 69 years old. I talked to him about a month ago. He's enjoying playing golf. He watches a lot of basketball. But I guess at this point now, nothing would shock me.
By the way, the first guy out here in every game.
I was going to ask you.
And the team isn't here yet, But who's the first guy out there shooting for Northwestern?
Brian McIntosh has been out there. I was going to ask you that, Dave, because you're obviously at every single game on the road. He's out there. This is just a little lesson for as I channel my inner Steve Stone. For all you youngsters out there, he's shooting two-footers, one after another, and then five-footers, then ten-footers, and just working on real basic stuff and getting a huge sweat going on right now. I mean, that's what it takes, right?
We see this every game. Armand Gates, assistant coach, comes over with him early, and he works on this and this part of his game. And, you know, his percentages have been down a little bit, but lately they've been coming up. He's been scoring more, and he's been kind of on a hot streak.
So he scored 28 against these guys last year. He ran over here from the hotel. He just wants to play him again.
It's a short run.
I bet, yeah. Matt LePay, thanks so much for joining us.
Good
to
see
you.
Take care.
As always, a lot of fun. We are at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin. Big game between Northwestern and Wisconsin. The Beat will be right back on 720 WGN. We got a little baseball talk here in the next hour. Also going to be talking to Jim Phillips, athletic director of Northwestern. We are at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin. The Beat is on the road today. Adam Hogan, Mark Carman. Just had a fun conversation with Matt LePay, the voice of the Badgers.
I didn't realize that you had interned for LePay before I made the great hiring of you, Adam Hogue, to run the WGN Sports Department.
I think that was on my resume that you looked at.
Yeah, I don't think I looked at that resume. Well, hold on. Come back here, Dave.
I think I just got you in trouble.
When I was producing it back in the day, I would interview. We started off with Dave gave me the responsibility of hiring the interns or interviewing him, basically. And then I said, Dave, are you okay with a guy like Adam Hogan? You would say, yes, that's fair, is it not? Am I wrong? Am I misremembering?
No. Wrong one. That is fair. The Adam had come highly recommended
right.
to
well,
me.
Right. Well, I was always
so. I think I gave him your name.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
Yeah, right. Of course, I would get the name from you and say, "Hey, talk to this guy. If he's not a complete fool, let's hire him because everyone says he's great." And then Hogue came in. I'm like, "What do you do?" Well, I work for the student radio station. I work for the student TV station. I work for the newspaper.
And I intern for Matt LePay.
And I intern. I'm like, "Okay, great. You're ready to go. Can you cut sound? Good." All right, you can do everything that I don't want to do, and I'll let you do a lot.
That was pretty honest.
I mean,
that was pretty honest assessment. Yeah,
there was a lot of hands on when I was.
That's why it was so great.
Right,
because I've been in other places where the intern doesn't do anything.
So
anyway, was absolutely great.
Thank you for verifying, Dave. And yes, of course, I didn't have like the full hiring power, but I would do the interviews, and I did interview you. That's all I'm saying.
Look, earlier in the show, you were talking about how blessed we are in Chicago to have all the great play-by-play voices that we have.
Yes.
I mean, to have Dave Edd and Matt LePay there, too. Matt LePay has had NFL offers, okay? He's very highly regarded and has chosen to stay here in Madison because it's such a great place to live and do his job.
I think Matt's phenomenal, and Dave's my boss, and I wouldn't say anything bad about him, but I will go over the top for Dave on how and he's left the booth, by the way. He's not around right now. I think just Dave's play-by-play is just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And on a Saturday afternoon, especially, I mean, Dave resonates throughout any college football fan in Chicago. That's the voice that you're used to hearing. I mean, there's a reason why the press box is named after him.
No question.
And he does a phenomenal job.
More and more players kind of leaking out into the court here. I think Brian McIntosh and Nigel Hayes are having a shooting competition right now across the court.
Yeah, the Badgers don't look focused to me at all. They look very lackadaisical. There's just this casualness to Wisconsin right now, whereas Brian McIntosh, the lone cat out there, is super focused, looks ready to me. I'm picking Northwestern by two.
Wow. Not overtime, though, right?
Cats by two.
You don't want to go in overtime.
68-66 Cats. McIntosh from the left wing at the horn. Bang.
You heard it here. Mark Harmon picking the Cats. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Come right back. It's 720 WGN.
This is my kingdom come. This is
now back to the Beat.
720 WGN.
Back here on the Beat from Madison, Wisconsin. Northwestern taking on the Badgers at 5:30. Tip off. Our official pregame starts at 5:15, but we're here for you until then. A kind of an extended pregame type deal. Adam Hogan, Mark Carman. As we spent a lot of time in that first hour talking about these two programs. And how about Matt LePay? I do want to talk some baseball here, but how about Matt LePay kind of leaving the door open on Bo Ryan returning to coaching?
Yeah, I would wonder where he thinks Bo Ryan would go. I mean, he's never coached outside of the state, which is a very cool part of Bo Ryan, by the way, that he came up from D3 in Wisconsin all the way to the head coach of Wisconsin.
Well, I will admit that that question didn't come out of nowhere. Bo is going to be part of this like coaching roundtable show that's going to be on the Big Ten Network. I think it starts tonight. And they leaked out some of the videos kind of like promotionally in the last few days. And there was one where they asked him directly, do you think you would return to coaching? And he didn't say no. So I have an idea. Because I always hear this from Illini fans who constantly say to me, why can't Illinois be like Wisconsin? And this goes for football and basketball. And they did kind of make is retread the right word? I don't know. When they hired Lovie Smith, they kind of, you know, they went for that veteran type guy who you never really thought would come back to college. Now, obviously, Bo's always been in college, but Illinois would be extreme difference. But I don't know if Bo would ever want to coach in Illinois. I'm just saying, I would say that'd be a good hire for them.
I mean, I would think if Bo's going to come back, it might be on a lower level, less pressure, maybe even D2, D3 level. But if you wanted to get back in the Big Ten and Illinois was willing to do a 3-4 year thing with Bo and maybe have him have somebody behind him who's going to take over the program after he's done, that would invigorate some Illinois basketball, certainly a lot more than John Gross, that's for sure. This makes me want to ask a question to the listeners here, 312-981-7200, because it's an interesting thing in life, Adam Hogue, the third, right? 1 through 30, you're getting your education, you're figuring yourself out, you're getting your footing. 30 to 60, hopefully you've done some decent work where you're on some footing and you actually can be in a career that you enjoy and you make your money. Now you're 60 years old, you've hopefully had a great run, and you're in a position, ideally, where you can do whatever you want to do. I mean, that's where Bo Ryan is at. He doesn't need money. He can do exactly whatever it is he wants. And, like, so I just, the whole old school formula was you're 60, you retire, you go to your couch. Who wants to do that? Like, why would you, that's not fun. And that's why I think Bo Ryan answers that question. Like, I'll never say never, because you get bored. You even if you're a competitive nut, like I envision myself being at that age, you can only go to the golf course or the tennis court so many days of the week. Like, you're going to need something else other than that to get you going.
Well, Bo did. They moved to Southern California. And
that's a beautiful thing.
And living the retired life out there. But I get what you're saying. Especially, let's be honest, coaches are wired differently than most human beings. And look, we have the benefit of loving what we do every single day, too. And I fully understand that for a lot of people, that's not, you know, they can't wait to be retired. Whereas I think a lot of, you know, there are tons of coaches out there that just love what they do. And especially, I'd say, at the college level, where they're, like, so addicted to, like, actually improving the lives of these young men that are in, like, such a critical point in their life in college, right? And molding them a certain way that they just never want to stop doing it. And, rumors about Bo retiring went on, I mean, for like even 10 years ago when I was here, even though he was only in like his like fourth, fifth year, you know, that was always something that was talked about. Well, like, who's going to take over for Bo? But the way it ended was not, I mean, he did walk out on his own terms and he got Greg Gard, you know, in line to have his opportunity to keep the job, but I think the whole process was a little bit sped up by all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's exactly how I remember
it. I can see why he still has the itch.
Right, yeah. Okay. I'm just curious, 312-981-7200, for our third-thirders out there, what's the recommendation?
By the way, you just depressed me that I'm in my second third.
Yeah, well, just remember that I'm well past where you're at in that second third, and I'm like around the corner, like really, really deeply, can see the third, which is really terrifying.
No.
I'm almost halfway.
You're like at hole number 9 in life.
That's fine. That's right. I'm at hole number 9. I'm midway.
Yeah.
That's a long way.
But you always finish strong on the back 9.
Sure. But in my second, third, I'm 2 years away from halfway through it. So then I'm almost on the back nine of my second third.
Look, man, I love you. You are going to birdie number nine. You're going to you're gonna get a nice meal at the turn.
Thank you.
You're going to show up on the 10th tee box, and you're going to crush one 275 right down the middle.
Look, it age is just a number. I get it. It's how you feel. But I'm just curious, like, for people who are in that part, 60-plus, like, what do you do? How do you what's the motivation? Like, a guy like Bo Ryan could be listening right now. Maybe he doesn't want to be doing coaching, but, like, what's on your heart? Like, yeah. How do you contribute? You should have learned something. You should be giving something back to society. I feel like that's almost like you owe it back to help somebody out along the way. Don't just take everything that you've compiled through your years and just, you know, keep it inside your house and don't tell anybody or just your family on the things that you perhaps could, you know, help a bunch of people out with. I think that's a responsibility of humanity, Hogue. I'm going deep right now.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, you have just crossed into...
I'll go deep on a Sunday.
Yeah,
let's get there.
All right, let's go deep into a little bit of baseball talk, too, while we still can.
And by the way, that could be a thing, too. If you just want to travel around for a whole summer and see every baseball park and follow the Cubs, follow the White Sox... And
you know what I want to do?
That's your thing. That's cool, too.
I just want to live in Arizona during, like, the next month of life.
Okay. I'm down.
I have to say, there are a few things better than getting up in the morning in Arizona, maybe going for a nice...
Hogue loves a hike.
...little hike on Squaw Peak or Mountain or whatever the heck it's called, but I did it a bunch last year. It was great. Sunrises. You feel like you've already accomplished so much in life by 8 a.m., then you go to the backfields.
Early bird gets the worm.
You can go to the Cubs. You can go to the White Sox. You can go to the Cleveland Indians. I don't care. But the backfields of spring training facilities are where, like, heaven is, where you can just stand
behind
a fence and see, like, Major League Baseball players right there just crushing baseballs.
You love the sight. You love the sights.
With the
sun's
out. I'm a hardcore baseball romantic, you know that. And that is, I mean, that's just how I want to spend the next month.
I've only been to spring training once. I got to go when I was working in Kansas City with the Royals. And you would get there early in the morning, you know, 8 a.m., and they're just coming out to the field. Sun's coming up, little dew.
It's a nice
experience. It's very cool. If you're fortunate enough to get out to spring training, I do... You like that type of thing.
I would
highly recommend it's awesome.
Doing that. It's a good family trip, too, because everything's just relaxed. It's not like, let's be honest, going to Wrigley Field in June, it's hot and it's stressful. When you're trying to bring a family there, especially.
Yes, now we're getting to the conversation. Last year where Hogue was complaining that he had to buy water for James for $6.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on that.
Yeah, that was not a fun experience for you.
I don't care where you are, baseball or anywhere. Yeah, water should not cost $6. Get out of here. Come on.
It doesn't
seem fair.
Yes.
Are you going to start charging you for oxygen soon?
No, I just remember, like, a week after that conversation, I was on a date at Wrigley Field, and she brought a beautiful canister that she had filled up with water, was going back and forth. It was so easy. And then I'm thinking, couldn't bring a little.
Can you bring your own canister in?
Yes, you can bring an Nalgene or whatever you want. You can do that. And then
you can't bring in anything to the ballpark anymore, but they'll let you bring that in.
Yes, you can bring that in. Maybe she snuck it in, but I believe that's legal. You can do it.
When we come back, I want to address three key questions for the Cubs, three key questions for the White Sox as spring training gets underway this week in Arizona. This week on Chicago's Best, grab your significant other. From dining to dancing, Brittany and Elliot are stepping up their dating game. Chicago's Best Date Night, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. This is The Beat, live from the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin, getting ready for Northwestern and Wisconsin on 720 WGN. Here on The Beat, Adam Hogue and Mark Carman from the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm going to take a kind of a break here from talking about this basketball game and talk a little baseball for a second as spring training gets underway. I still find that they moved spring training up, or is it just because the Cubs were playing like 3 days ago in the World Series?
I don't know. You were up here today, but you walk out your door this morning, I'm already feeling summer. Let's go. I'm ready. 50 degrees. This has been the easiest winter we've ever had. Hasn't snowed barely any. I'm ready. Let's go, man.
Well, we're screwed now that you said that.
Now we'll be all right. Stay positive.
All right, so I want to get three big keys for the Cubs in spring training, and then I'll give you three for the White Sox.
Well, number one for any team in baseball, but it needs to be said, I think, with the Cubs, considering how many games they played the last couple of years. I mean, you're talking about going to the NLCS and then winning the World Series. You have to be concerned about injuries, and that's why the Cubs have added so much depth to their pitching and continue to add depth. Because you have to wonder, is John Lester going to be able to make his 30 starts? Same thing with Jake Arrieta. Same thing with Kyle Hendricks, even though he's young. I mean, that's huge concern number one. But I think they'll be real proactive in monitoring it and not pushing these guys and extending the rotation. I don't know how early they'll do it, but I would anticipate that they may have a six-man rotation for a decent, third of the year, something like that. So that's one. Two for me is center field, and combine that with leading off. I mean, you're talking about 400 hitting or 400 on base, Dexter Fowler. You're also talking about the leadership skills of Fowler. You're also talking about an incredibly clutch player in Dexter Fowler. I mean,
you're really worried about losing Dexter Fowler.
Well, Dexter Fowler deserves a lot of credit for what he did. I mean, he led off Game 7 of the World Series with a home run. I mean, he had a lot of big hits. Whenever he would come up in big-time situations, the moment didn't seem too big for him. He didn't change. Very mellow Dexter Fowler up there. Now, you look at his playoff numbers, too. It wasn't like he got hit every time up there, either. He was hitting 200 for a good amount of it, so now arguing against myself. But I think that is something that will be real interesting to watch. And then the other side of it is, and this is a luxury but can also become a little bit of a challenge, at some point Javi Baez is not going to be thrilled with not playing every day. The same thing for Ben Zobrist, the same thing for Kyle Schwarber, the same thing for Jason Hayward. And if Albert Almora plays too and he's playing well, I mean, he's a little bit away from it. But these guys, like, keeping them motivated and the chemistry and all that, I think that can be a thing.
I'm not dismissing that, because, look, we're talking about professional sports, and even when guys are great teammates and everything, it's still a business and a job, and egos get involved. But don't you think last year's blueprint, in that guys were rested, they were moved around, they played everywhere, and then when it got to crunch time in the playoffs, I mean, Joe Maddon really, for the most part, settled down on using Javi Baez and Zobrist in the outfield. Baez was at second, and it kept it relatively consistent. Everyone was happy as they won the World Series. I mean, to me, I would be able to look at that and say, all right, this worked last year. There's no reason it can't work again.
Yeah, but the thing was that everyone wasn't happy. I mean, Miguel Montero was the only guy that spoke out after the series, right? But he legit didn't feel like he was communicated with. And it was kind of surprising to see that, but he said it.
He was also a guy who was struggling.
He was. So
don't you think that you're sure? Are you positive that that's just not an individual example, that you think that actually was more widespread across the roster?
No, I'm not. I don't think it was necessarily widespread. I'm not saying that, but I do think that over time, as these guys get more years in the league and more confident in their abilities, and they're not just happy to be here, I do think that that's something that Joe Maddon's going to have to balance delicately. I'm not saying, listen, like, finding concerns on the Cubs is difficult to do, so I am stretching a little bit here. But I do think that's just something to watch. Like, I always pay attention to who's in the lineup, who probably is a little bit on the disappointed/I-hate-Joe-Maddon-today train. I mean, these guys all have huge opinions of their abilities and being out there. So I think that's just something he's going to have to handle. I don't know how he'll go about it exactly, but Joe Maddon's a very skilled communicator.
815 texting, I'm 64, retired in September. Right now, only doing what I want. Going on a bus trip to Cubs spring training in March, totally pumped.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
He went Donald Trump all caps on the totally pumped.
That's fantastic.
So I know he's – hey, that's what I'm talking about right there. If you can do it, do it. Because it's the best. All right, let me give you...
Spring training tickets are not going to be cheap this year. I hope you saved a lot of dough.
Remember last year when I had to buy them from StubHub? The Cubs?
That was a bad job by you, but you
Why?
Are... Because you buy them on the street. Don't pay StubHub prices. It's a bad move. But you're a family guy. I get it. You don't want to be scalping with two-year-old, two-year-old?
Look, the last thing I need, though, is, like, fake tickets in my hand as we're walking in.
They're going fake tickets at spring training. That person
You don't think they're doing that this year with the Cubs going off the World Series?
You know, it's interesting.
There's a huge problem during the playoffs.
It's interesting what's going on with you can't have printout tickets anymore. I wonder what that's going to look like.
Because that's where the fakest tickets are coming from.
Right, I get it. At any rate, okay, continue. Let me hear your White Sox concerns. Is that it? I mean, you're not even trying to win.
They're not necessarily concerns. No, these are things that have to be worked on in spring training. Okay, the first question is the most obvious. Is Jose Quintana even a part of this thing? I mean.
Yeah, I don't think he will be.
I don't think he will be either. And a huge factor in this is that he's going to be pitching in the World Baseball Classic. If you're the White Sox, how can you, like, even let him? I mean, you don't have control over it. But my point is, don't you have to move him before that? Because, I mean, what if he blows his arm out in the World Baseball Classic? That severely sets back what you're trying to accomplish here. But at the same time, I do appreciate Rick Hahn being measured about this and trying to get the most he possibly can for the guy. But at some point, you got to weigh that against the risks of actually letting this guy throw pitches for you again.
Right. And Rick Hahn is in a position of strength right now, considering the haul that he got for Chris Sale and the haul that he got for Adam Eaton. So he can sit there with Quintana and feel like, you know what? If you're not going to pay the price, I don't mind having this young starter on my squad all the way to the deadline and perhaps all the way into next offseason. But I still think that with the way baseball's going and salaries, somebody is going to massively overpay to have a cost-controlled starter like that, and they'll give up a ton of talent. I think the Sox are going to – I mean, if their scouting is as good as you would hope that their scouting is, this turnaround could be real quick and it could be pretty powerful.
So along those lines, my number two – like, this to me is a huge key for them in spring training. Carlos Rodon, to me, has not looked – good enough to the point where I'm as sold on him as a lot of people seem to be. Oh, yeah, he's just going to be good. I mean, I have seen him pitch so many times up close at these games where, I see all the stuff. Yes, I see why he's so highly regarded, but I'm still waiting for him to put it all together. And to me, that needs to start happening immediately. Like, this has to be his breakout season, because if you're going to trade Chris Sale, if you're going to trade Jose Quintana, like, that guy needs to be good now, even though you're not trying to win this year, you know what I mean? But we're talking about year three already of him getting significant pitching time. He needs to be good.
Right. Well, hold on a second here. Let's just, as I'm thinking this through, if you trade Quintana, is Rodon your number one starter? Is that what that looks like?
Is it James Shields?
I wouldn't say that.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's definitely Derek Holland they brought in. You still have Miguel Gonzalez. So to answer your question, I don't know if you call him your number one ace right now, but he's the one guy who you're counting on being part of this team when they're good.
That's like one thing I haven't thought about. You trade Quintana. Who starts for the White Sox opening day? I mean, that's a competition in spring training.
I haven't even thought about that.
Right?
Like, it's kind of depressing.
Who's your opening day starter?
Who was like the Cubs opening day starter when they were really bad?
I remember, like, now I'm like thinking 1993, they let Maddox go, and then all of a sudden Mike Morgan starting opening day, and you just know that life, as far as baseball concerned, is over.
We need to break real quick, though. My third kind of key for spring training, Yoan Moncada. This is your Chris Bryant. Like, you just gave up Chris Sale, the most talented pitcher you've ever – I'm not saying he's the best, like, whatever, but the most talented pitcher you've ever had pitch for your franchise. And the guy you got back, the big star from that trade, he has to be great. He has to be Chris Bryant good.
Sure.
So, I don't know the whole contract situation. You know, there might be reasons why he can't start the season on the major league club, and that's fine if he doesn't. But I want to see him have the Chris Bryant spring training where everyone was freaking out about the idea that he wasn't going to be on the team for the first 2 weeks of the season.
That would make you feel good,
you know,
if you're a Sox fan.
All right. We'll take it. Yep, we're taking a timeout right now. This is The Beat on 720 WGN. Back here on The Beat, we're on the road today in Madison, Wisconsin, getting ready for Northwestern and Wisconsin. A 5:30 tip-off right here on 720 WGN. Pre-game at 5:15. That's when we'll get off the air. Want to catch up with the third member of this show, though, who's back in Chicago. Had a fun weekend last weekend in Houston at the Super Bowl. JP, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Loud and clear. So, I want to start off right away. The Man of the Year, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, controversy. Come on. Right? I mean, you split it between Larry Fitzgerald and Eli Manning, two very deserving guys. I just I don't want to create a controversy. I'm just curious kind of what led to the decision for the first time in the awards history to give it to have co-winners.
Actually, it actually had co-winners. The last time was with Drew Brees and LaDainian Tomlinson. They won it not too long ago, so it's not out of the norm. We've just been over the last couple of years have seen just a single winner, but it comes down to the voting, you guys. It's not my mom gets one vote, and we kind of go through and help her to figure out her three that she would like, and then it goes into a big pool. But there's other people that vote on it as well. But both guys very, very deserving of the award, and this time getting to see Larry again and also getting to see Eli again for a second year from last year, and already knowing Greg, three guys very deserving. Greg's going to win it sometime because the stuff he's doing in the community, it's unreal.
Jared Payton was at the Super Bowl. I watched the Super Bowl.
Me too.
I'm still not over the Super Bowl. Being down there, JP, as Atlanta was blowing a game that no team in the history of the NFL ever had blown or will ever blow again, what was some of the reaction you were getting from people? Because, you know, if you're a decent human being, you're rooting against the Patriots. We all know this.
You guys, the building was unreal. Man, Falcons fans were just – they were so excited about their opportunity, but – I knew after Lady Gaga, I was thinking and talking to my wife, I said, man, you just gave Belichick a lot of time to go in there and dissect and figure out something. I go, this game's not over yet. And then to see them come back in that fashion, it was unreal. Sitting next to the Falcons fans that I had next to me, this guy was kicking seats and everything. I tried to get it on Snapchat, but I wasn't fast enough.
All right, be honest. What was cooler, the Patriots comeback or Lady Gaga?
The Patriots come back. I love Gaga. I'm not a huge fan. I just don't listen to her music, but her performance that she put on was spectacular. I mean, it was I've seen them. I've been going to Super Bowls ever since 99, and this was something on a whole nother level.
Well, I have to say, and they're definitely not my two favorite artists that have ever performed at halftime. I think my two favorite performances, though, at the Super Bowl were Katy Perry and Lady Gaga.
Yeah. I mean, Katy Perry was unreal as well, but man, just to see what Gaga did, it was something special to see in person.
And a lot of people are going to bring up Prince, of course, but I don't even remember that halftime show. Like I don't know if it's just like when the Bears were in that Super Bowl, the halftime show was not even on my mind.
Yeah, it was. Also, you can't forget about Michael Jackson's performance. I mean, it took him like 8 minutes to take his glasses off or something. I remember back in the day, that was a pretty unusual one, but I think another massive one that was huge.
Since the Bears are never in the Super Bowl, I always prefer the halftime to the Super Bowl because I generally never care who wins except for this particular year because I don't like to see cheaters win, and that was unfortunate. I'm going to continue to hammer that just every time we talk about the Patriots. But, Jared, I saw some of your video from – inside NRG Stadium, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were sitting in the end zone. Your dad, he did wear number 34, and his name is Walter Payton, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you have an award called the Man of the Year that Adam Hogue just talked about, right?
Yes.
Okay. Does Roger Goodell, and I know that I know you're friends with Roger.
RG1.
How does Roger Goodell and the NFL and the people in charge of tickets, how do they put a man of your caliber in the end zone? I mean, I could hear the 20 and I can hear you being all the way up top. But I expect better for my guy, JP. And if you want me to go to the league and get something done, I will, because you're not an end zone seat guy. That's how I feel. I don't care if it's the Super Bowl. You need at least a 20-yard line.
Well, I'll tell you this. Our seats are normally super – they're good all the time, but these seats that we had were even better because I actually like being in the end zone so I can see how things are actually like just progressing. Like I love to see defenses and see what offenses and watching, you know, the motions and everything like that. It's hard to see from the side. That's why I'm not a huge fan of watching games on TV, but I love sitting in the back and watching, because it's like kind of watching the coach's film, Hogue. That's what gets me. So, Carm, I can't complain, man. I was in the building. I actually got to see that touchdown and to see Devontae Freeman's touchdown when he came through. I mean, I got some really, really good clips. And, man, I had like 4,000 people watching on Periscope, because I was streaming it live on Twitter.
That sounds illegal.
No. It wasn't illegal.
No, I think Roger's mad at you now.
Roger's my guy, man. Oh, did you guys see the interview that I had with those legends?
I did, on Facebook Live.
Are you kidding me? Earl Campbell, Marcus Allen, Jim Brown, and Barry Sanders sitting next to me. I was like, these are the GOATs, man. This is the coolest thing. For an hour, got a chance to talk with them. And, man, some of the stories that came out, they were pretty powerful. But to be able to sit next to guys who I grew up watching, especially running backs, it pretty much was almost the coolest thing on the planet.
Share a little bit for us. Tell us what was one of your favorite moments.
I think the biggest moment was to hear Jim Brown, because he's kind of, you know, the godfather. He's the OG when you talk about running backs, and his ability to kind of give compliments to each one of the guys, and him and Earl kind of came in after him, and listening to him talk about their relationship and what Jim did was special. But when Jim said that he used to run down on the opposing team's sidelines, so the defense, while they were sitting over there, they could get a look at what they were going to have to deal with for an entire game. And when he said that, it made me I started almost crying, because I've watched Jim Brown interviews. I've never heard him say that before. And he actually told me at the end, he said it was his favorite interview that he's ever done, and he was glad that I constructed it. So to me, that was a big moment for me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, just sit in that room. I mean, to see it on, I don't know, Carm, if you got a chance to look at the video. It just seemed like JP sitting in the middle of all these, like you said, the GOATs.
The GOATs.
What did you think about T.O. not getting in the Hall of Fame?
I was kind of bummed. I really get it, but I look at some of the other guys. I mean, you look at some other people's rap sheets that are in the NFL. I mean, no one's squeaky clean.
That's what my point was.
Yeah,
like Randy Moss is up next year. Like, and both of those guys should be Hall of Famers. But like, if you're not let T.O. in, how do you let Randy Moss or Ray Lewis too next year?
But I think with the whole Randy Moss thing, he's kind of, you know, transformed his image, and I think they like want people to do that. But to me, it comes down to the numbers. If you have the numbers to get in, you can't tell me that T.O. is not the second greatest wide receiver of all time. Like, he needs to be in the NFL. Whatever he did at some of those places and being, you know, bad in the locker room, he also did make teams better when he got there and played. So it comes down to the stats for me, and I think I was kind of upset that he didn't get in. I saw Michael Irvin. He was pretty upset as well.
A lot of people are upset on T.O. One more question on the Patriots. I'll make it nice. Who's more valuable in your mind, Jared, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? To me, it's an easy answer.
It's an easy answer. Easy.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, come on.
It's easy.
How can you say that?
It's so easy because he's the mastermind. Like, he is the mastermind. I think Tom Brady is – my respect for him this past season winning is a lot more than the other championships, because the defense that he had going in, I know you look at statistically during the year how good they were, but they're not one of the best defenses that he's ever had in all those Super Bowl championship teams. So – this one is a little bit more impressive, plus the comeback from behind. But I'll tell you, man, it's all about your man Belichick. He was up and down coaching everybody on that sideline.
Here's why JP's right, Carm. Here's why JP's 100% right. Okay. Look at how long and difficult it was for Peyton Manning to win Super Bowls, okay? And he only got two, and it was all said and done. Dan Marino never won one. Okay, this is a quarterback-driven league, and you have to have a good quarterback to have a chance to win a Super Bowl. But it's still a team game, and you still have to have all the pieces. And what Bill Belichick has done so well is create – could they have won a Super Bowl, maybe two, with Tom Brady without Bill Belichick? Sure, but I don't think they would have this sustained success if it wasn't for Belichick's system, the way that he could take a guy like Shea McClellan and throw him in there – and have them be successful even without being, you know, a star.
Okay, but
hold up real quick. I got to throw this in there because I can't name the source, but former Bears player told me that Martellus Bennett would not, and I can repeat, would not kind of mesh with what the Patriots are doing because he didn't love football enough. That's what I heard. And to see what he did and became a Super Bowl champion, he went there, and it's the culture that they also have created as well in that locker room. It's something special in an organization that you can take guys that fit your system. You don't have to take the best guy. Whoever fits your system, and then you perfect it. Bill Belichick is a mastermind, and listen, the greatest football coach that I've ever watched. It's unreal.
But let's just kind of play that out just for a second. Who's more valuable, Joe Montana or Bill Walsh? Joe Montana, right? Who's more valuable?
I don't know.
Really, Bill Walsh kind of built that.
He built like that West Coast offense.
Yeah, I don't know that that's an easy Joe Montana answer.
No.
There.
Michael or Phil?
Hold up.
Magic or Riley?
Okay, but see,
I mean, it's always the player.
I mean, didn't Steve Young keep it going?
He did. That's true. But Steve Young was a great, great quarterback. It's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, you were.
It was already set up.
Yeah.
It was already set up.
Would Bill Belichick.
Okay, but when Matt Castle quarterbacked the Patriots, they didn't go to the Super Bowl. They won 11 games, but they weren't a Super Bowl contender.
Well, I said you still need the quarterback. There's no question about it, but I don't think you have this sustained long-term dynasty like this without Bill Belichick.
I'm not. He gets his due, but you got to have – I mean,
it's a fun conversation.
You're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time, arguably. He's got to be more valuable than the coach.
Chris Collins or Brian McIntosh?
B-Mac, and I love Chris Collins, but B-Mac all
what?
Day. Yes.
This is the guy that's come here and turned the program around.
For this particular team, B-Mac, no question.
Crazy, JP. Crazy.
He is so crazy. You're delusional.
Yeah.
You guys are little coach love going on
Dave
right
Ennett
now.
Or Mark Carmen?
Oh, Dave Ennett.
See?
Dave Ennett.
See?
That's the coach.
Dave's, right. Dave's sitting right next to me, by the way.
We're not going to be able to get to a conclusion here, but I think it's a massive disrespect for Tom Brady, who I don't like defending. I don't like defending
JP,
Belichick either. But.
JP, you want to take me to Minnesota next year for the Super Bowl?
I would love to take you, man. I'll try to tell my sister she can't go. You can stand with me on the field.
I think that should fly, right?
Unless you have 20-yard line or better, I'm not coming.
Listen to you. You just relax, Carmen. If you're in the building, you're going to be happy. I know you got a smile on your face right now.
I do.
Thanks, JP.
All right, guys.
All right, Jared Payton back at the studio in Chicago. Adam Hoke, Mark Carmen out here in Madison, Wisconsin at the Kohl Center. You starting to dig the vibe a little bit? The seats are filling in. The players are on the court.
Yeah, I like that tune they just played. What was that? I don't need no money. Cheap Thrills. We'll see ya. Yeah.
During our last news break, they played the Justin Timberlake song from the movie Trolls. Which is the biggest – I should ask JP about this. If he's still there, he can still chime in.
For the record.
Trolls is the biggest ripoff ever. You have Justin Timberlake starring in an animated kids movie, and the dude doesn't sing until there's like 20 minutes left in the movie. He plays a character that doesn't sing.
It's a little bizarre.
How does that make any sense?
I don't know, Adam, but
– that's the angriest I've been all week. If you want to recap Adam Ho's week –
Angry
investing Hulk. In the movie Trolls for my 2-year-old, which I thought he would love because he loves music. And then 20 minutes in, James was gone. Had no idea where he was. He walked out on the movie. 2-year-old walked out on Trolls.
That's a bold move by James. I mean, really staking his claim as a 2-year-old as to what he's willing to do in life. And I like that out of James. James showing some serious intention. Hey, I'm not staying at movies that
I didn't blame him.
Right. Good job by James. And by the way, it's great to be here. But I'd rather be at Welsh Ryan Arena. I don't care about all the nice amenities we got going on here and this little skybox that we're in. Give me old school Welsh Ryan even before the renovation.
All right.
Just so you know that, Hope.
I don't disagree, but they scheduled the game in Madison this year. So sorry about that.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
It wasn't our choice. All right. Adam Hoke, Mark Carr. We'll be right back from the Kohl Center on 720 WGN. Back here at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin, the Beat is on the road today. The crowd's starting to fill in here. Carmen's starting to get jacked. I can see the nerves. Actually, can I bring up something? I saw you at the end of the Illinois game the other night at Welsh Ryan from afar because I was on the opposite side of the arena.
Yeah.
And you look like someone that just killed your dog.
It was upsetting.
I mean,
it was
you
a tough
were,
loss.
I felt like I could feel the pain from across the arena from you.
That was the worst loss of the year. There's no question about it. It was a game that they needed to have to make their life easy, and it didn't go their way. I'm here and I'm bouncing back, but I don't think Dave Ennett felt any better, or Joey Meyer for that matter. That was a tough loss. And listen, I mean, Illinois hadn't won a game on the road in forever. To lose to, it's just always painful losing to Illinois too. I've had a lot of painful Illinois losses at Welsh Ryan Arena.
Well, I was in the building. And I feel like that's the least amount of Illinois fans I've ever seen in Welsh Ryan Arena, which I thought was telling. But that was also what made it so frustrating at the end of the game when all of a sudden they were loud.
Right.
It was like they had like an extra 2,000 had walked in like in the last 5 minutes of the game out of nowhere.
I mean, Illinois basketball has been beaten down. And
it's pretty bad shape right now.
They just got waxed by Penn State yesterday too. So
it'll be interesting to see some changes that could be coming in the Big Ten. I mean, I got to think at this point Illinois has to, especially with the new AD, seriously considering changing their head coach.
John Gross is not going to survive. No way.
What about Tom Crean at Indiana? I was just reading a story from Greg Doyle from the Indy Star from today because they got smacked at home by Michigan today. And, I mean, the headline, if I still have it open here, Tom Crean is getting as tired of this IU team as the fans. I mean, that's starting to sound pretty bad down there in Bloomington, too.
They've had a lot of injuries, though. I don't think that there's going to be a movement with Tom Crean. I'd be very, very surprised. He's always entertaining to watch. It's a little bit much for me, Tom Crean. The coaches that can never sit down and want to be the spotlight of attention like Tom Crean, it's hard for me to stomach that one. He is
just constantly moving the entire time.
Well, they had a great chant on him at Northwestern. Sit down, Tom, or get off the court was what they were doing with him. Get off the court, which I that's a great troll.
Well, my days here at Wisconsin was when he was coaching Marquette, and he got that little rivalry coming. And when he would come in here, they would pound him the whole time. Now, he's still coming in here every year with Indiana, obviously, well, most years. And it's very similar, but yeah, I understand. Let's take a look at Northwestern's last seven games. So starting today, they have seven games. And what are you thinking they need to be at? They're 7-4 in the Big Ten right now.
I think to be safe, 11 wins, you're good.
So they need to go 4-3 in his last seven.
Right.
Okay, so you're at Wisconsin today, right here where we're at the Kohl Center. Big opportunity for Northwestern. Maryland at home. I mean, that's a game that you'd really like to have on your home court.
They got four home games left. You got Maryland and Purdue are two of them. You got Michigan and you got Rutgers. You win three of those and one on the road, that would get it done. But those are four tough. I mean, two of those games are very tough. You lose two, you got to win two on the road.
You should win in Illinois.
You should.
You should win in Indiana, as tough as a place that it is, as it is. They're just a mess.
Yeah. Listen,
and the Cats look like a much better team when those two teams played in Evanston.
Yes. The Cats got to get healthy, though. Scotty Lindsey needs to be back on the court. They don't – as much as Chris Collins is building more and more depth, you're losing your leading scorer. He's an excellent defender. He does a whole lot for you on the court. We'll see how they do today. Nathan Taphorn's going to start, which is a change. Isaiah Brown had been starting with Lindsey out. Today they go a little longer, and I think that's a good move. Get the senior in there. Hopefully he can give you a little punch shooting the basketball as well. I like the move by Chris Collins.
Yeah, and look, they need it. I mean, they need to change things up. Also, I think it's mostly matchups. Wisconsin's a bigger team than probably most you're going to see in the Big Ten. They're definitely stronger in the front court than they are in the back court, so you're going to have to guard a guy like Vito Brown who can jump out and hit a three on you. So, I think Taphorn kind of brings that. So that's probably has something to do with it. as well. Well, we're getting closer and closer to game time, about 30 minutes away from tip-off at the Kohl Center.
Pre-game 5:15.
And that's right. So we got a news break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up things here on our show and then hand it off to Dave and Joey as they get ready for the pregame show.
To Hill, who will dribble out the clock. Final seconds wind down, and Illinois has come into Welsh Ryan Arena and knocked off the Wildcats by a final score of 68-61, and hand the Wildcats just their second loss at home this season.
You know, I told our guys our effort was there. There's no question. But, you know, when you're a little bit undermanned along with effort, you got to play smart. And, you know, I just thought we got out of character a little bit. Some, silly turnovers, took some rush bad shots, and we got to iron that out.
Back here at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin, getting ready for the Badgers and Northwestern, a game that the Cats would really love to have coming off that loss against Illinois on Tuesday night, which you just heard the highlight from Dave Ennett. And look, Chris Collins said, I mean, the defense has still been there. They're obviously losing some firepower, not having Scotty Lindsey around. He's not going to play today. But I'll also tell you, Wisconsin has not been shooting well for a while now. So if they keep that good defense going, I'll say this. I'm surprised the spread is 11.5 in this game. When I saw that this morning, I was like, really? I know it's a tough road game for Northwestern, but Wisconsin has not exactly been blowing people out. They've had a lot of tight games that have gone overtime.
Well, if Northwestern's going to win today, you talk about shooting, they're going to have to shoot it incredibly well. I mean, that's basic, but you're going to have to shoot 40-plus from three. You're going to have to shoot 50-plus from the floor. I don't anticipate the Wildcats winning undermanned unless they have a really hot day from the floor, which, by the way, they're perfectly capable of doing. So, and hopefully they'll get a bunch of easy buckets, too, although Wisconsin does have some size. But I'd like to see Derek Pardon get some points in the paint, which he hasn't had in a while. We'll see. Maybe even Barrett Benson can get a couple buckets as well. But Cats are going to need everybody today if they're going to somehow, some way beat the number 7 team in the country on the road. Maybe Nick Law can have a big day. There's a lot of options out there, Adam Hogan. I'm getting excited. By the way, do you remember our friend Tom Thibodeau?
I do.
Tibbs beat the Bulls today, 117-89. They were the shorthanded Bulls, as Veronica just told you.
But that makes Tibbs 2-0 against the Bulls this year.
He's undefeated against the Boo. As Dwayne Wade didn't play, got a wrist injury, x-rays were done, not serious. Jimmy Butler didn't play, heel, feeling better. Nico was out as well, which doesn't really matter, but he was. So they were massively undermanned. There's another NBA moment today where the Knicks actually won a game at home over the San Antonio Spurs, which is an impressive win.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Yeah, Carmelo played big.
Are they being sparked by the Charles Oakley incident?
Right, don't you think?
Is this going to rally the Knicks?
So Charles Oakley, I think everybody knows, was taken out of Madison Square Garden by security, dragged on the floor, removed. And today, Spike Lee sitting in the front row like he always does for Knicks games. He's wearing the Oakley jersey. He's going up to cameras. He's chanting, Oak, Oak, Oak. And the Knicks played their best game of the year. So James Dolan, who can't stand Charles Oakley.
How come Spike Lee didn't get kicked out?
Right.
I mean, isn't this the standard that they've set there? You can't do that.
It's against James Dolan's wishes. Maybe you can't be in the arena. I actually think that Charles Oakley gets credit for the Knicks win today, and I am championing that the Bulls should bring back Oakley and have bring back Oak night. Let's sit him in the front row, show some Oakley highlights early career with Mike, and just kind of troll the Knicks. I think that'd be great.
Can I point out one person here that we're looking down at the court right now getting ready for this Wisconsin game? Do you see our old friend Howard Moore in that bright pink shirt down there?
I do see Howard
Look
Moore.
Look at how good he looks in that shirt. Of course, yep. Howard Moore, now assistant coach for Wisconsin again, friend of our program, had been on many times when he was the coach at UIC, the head coach at UIC, and then when he was working at the Big Ten Network. He got hired back with Wisconsin after Bo Ryan stepped down last year because when Greg Gard moved up, they needed another assistant.
That's a nice landing spot for Howard, who was a great role model at UIC, but just quite frankly, didn't win enough games, but he was a credit to the university when he was there. And
well, he got dealt a tough hand.
He
was very candid and detailed with when he was on with us one time.
I'm a big Howard Moore fan.
Yeah, good dude. Looks great in the pink, too.
Solid guy in the pink.
And what also amazes me is we sit here and we watch these shoot-arounds, and you guys do this every week. it really depresses me because, like, these, if you watch an NBA shoot-around, they never, ever, 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 ever miss, like, before a game.
Yes, because they're in the NBA.
And like, yeah, I realize that. But even here at this level, these kids are, like, making everything. And I'm thinking about my own shoot-arounds, and I'm, like, I'm happy if I hit, like, half the shots.
Yeah, they're really, really good at basketball. They're Division I athletes. They're elite. So
are you saying that I'm not elite?
You're not. No, neither am I. It's okay.
And I was elite when you were guarding me last week.
That was one bucket. Let's make sure that we all.
On that one play, I was elite.
That was an elite play. I don't even know if it was elite. It was a credible basketball play by you. I'll go credible.
Credible. Not incredible. Just credible.
No, credible. That's all I'm giving you.
All
but
right.
But you did. You were credible in that moment, which is more than I can say for myself, I think, on the same day. And a lot of not credible moments, sad moments, looking very old moments.
I played four times last week.
Good.
I mean, that itch has been scratched. Look, the heat of my athletic life was next door to this building we're standing in right now when I was in college playing like 5 days a week. I mean, that was the peak of my athletic career in any sport.
My senior year, I majored in basketball. I had three classes left, and I was at the field house every day at the University of Iowa. And I'll never regret that. It was a great, great, great senior year. Iowa made you take gym classes. I was bowling. I was jogging. I was just getting in shape. I didn't learn a lot, but I was in great physical fitness.
Yeah. So how is your first experience here at the Kohl Center?
I'm excited.
You ready?
I'm ready for the call. Can't wait to see what transpires here today. Looking forward to hearing Dave and Joey. Thanks for getting us up here today. Thanks to
I'm trying to figure out why the student section is completely empty right now.
I'm sure they're.
Or at least like the lower part. It's weird.
A lot of empty seats in here right now. We got 20 minutes of game time.
Wouldn't have been like that in your day, Adam.
That's what I'm saying. I would have been in the fifth row. No, they're obviously planning something. It's weird. I don't know.
I don't know if they are. Maybe they're just not coming. Maybe they've lost faith in your university. Maybe they need to be number one in the country to show up.
I don't know about that. Hey, they were number one when I was here that one time. Then they lost their next two games right away. Anyway, I'm ready for this thing to get going. It is.
There is no Frank Kaminsky on this court today. Let's go, Cats.
No. And you beat Frank Kaminsky a few years ago on this court. That happened. We talked about it earlier.
That was a young Frank Kaminsky. But.
All right. It is Wisconsin and Northwestern coming up. Dave Ennett and Joey Meyer will have the call right here on 720 WGN.